sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from God, who never leaves us. Amen. Especially when our kids were younger than they are now, there were some words in our house that we just didn't say. Can you imagine that? By the way, we've got a new school year starting here tomorrow. Micah's going into his senior year. Katie now is going to be in high school. We've got two high schoolers. We can't believe it. So in all this newness and change in the seasons and these kind of big milestones coming up this year, I'm obviously getting nostalgic, thinking back to when they were little, looking back at old pictures and remembering some stories. So there were some words in our house back then that we just didn't say. This is still true to some extent, but they've learned other words, and they understand a lot more now. But this was our rule back then, back in the day when they were little. We taught Micah and Katie that there are words that we don't use under our roof. We don't say the word hate, for example. But Daddy, other people say hate all the time, Micah questioned back one day. My teacher said it's not a bad word. Maybe true, Micah, but we don't use that word in this house. We also don't say stupid. We don't say idiot. We don't say shut up. We don't say fat either. And we even taught our kids to use wise when they were really little, to use wise instead of old to describe a person. They're very wise, yeah. Somehow, Heather and I, in all of our parental omniscience from up here, from on high, came to the conclusion that canceling these words out of our household vocabulary is a good thing down there. The problem is when we slip. When I'm watching a baseball game and blurt out, "Damn it, I hate the Atlanta Braves." Or I'm reading the daily news on my phone in the living room while Katie's doing homework in the kitchen, and suddenly I completely lose all awareness of where I am and shout, "I can't believe it, this guy's an idiot. I wish he would shut up. He's so stupid, I hate him." Okay. You know, I slipped up all the time. We both did. And in each of these circumstances of slipping up, I then had to engage in that tricky parental activity of explaining myself. Probably apologizing, maybe making amends or exceptions, but always trying to include that affirmation that they're right. According to the rules we made, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. I said we shouldn't say those words, and here I am saying them myself. Great is your faithfulness to what I said, Micah. Great is your faithfulness to what we said, Katie. But here we are sloshing about. It's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it, right? Good teaching can trickle down from up here, but great faith sloshes around down there. Our gospel passage today starts out with some great teaching from up here. Jesus again is crumbling up the Pharisees' neatly sliced words, this time with a lesson on purity in the first part of our text for today. It's not what goes into the mouth that's unclean, Jesus says, it's what comes out of the mouth, words. But Jesus isn't just teaching us not to use bad words, not to swear. Let's not get too caught up with just bad words like stupid or idiot or hate and a whole bunch of other words, unfortunately, that we all know. I've known people actually who swear like sailors, as they say. Some of them are in the Navy and have hearts of gold, you know? Their words might be foul on one level, but their hearts burn with purity. Their intentions are compassionate. Maybe you've known people like this too. While others are proud of their purity and squeaky clean mouths, yet shoot daggers and explode gossip with their curseless words and looks and actions. Sure, we could watch our language. That's probably a good lesson for all of us, but I don't think that's the lesson here today. Jesus isn't teaching us here not to swear. He's teaching us about heart surgery. The heart, you see, was understood then to be the source of all thought, of all decision-making, of how we live our lives. It all comes from the heart. Jesus is teaching us about slicing away all that harms us and our neighbors and our world. What comes from the heart shapes everything. That's good teaching from up here. You know? But it's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it. And the story goes on in our text today. And it says that Jesus basically left his pulpit. He left one place. He left that place where he said all those things to the Pharisees and the disciples. And then it says he goes away to a different region. He left the pureness of heart lecture notes on the stand, you know, and came down to another region. And this is where it gets sloppy, where it sloshes around. A woman approaches who is not of his tribe in this new region of Tyre and Sidon. A strange woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite woman. Jesus, you need to understand, Jesus grew up in a neighborhood where such women were despised, were hated, stupid idiots who needed to shut up, who were always encroaching on his people. The real chosen Jews, not these half-bred aliens. Do you see what I'm doing here? Do you see what's happening here? And so Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who just got done preaching about purity of heart, everything flowing from the heart, calls her a dog. It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he says, a dog. Do you know how dirty dogs were then? They were not adorable, housebroken little pets that we bless when we do the blessing of the animals here in October. You know, where we sing their dogs are glimpses of God. No, dogs back then were mangy, flea-bitten mutts that were as irritating as flies. Many places in the world, dogs are still like this. He calls her a dog. Calling a person a dog, that's as offensive as a white person calling a black person a word that we won't even print in the paper. A dog, he calls her. It's one thing to preach it. It's something much different to live it. What do we do with this text where our precious Jesus himself is using the same old racial slurs, the same old arrogance, the same old self-righteousness, the same old divisions, the same old hatred that has plagued generations and cultures throughout history and time and still plagues us today? Words, of course, escalate to threats. And threats to violence and violence to wars and insurrections. There's nothing new here with what Jesus says. And this is a side of Jesus that many are tempted either to ignore or rationalize away or defend. I've preached sermons where, you know, Jesus was testing her, or Jesus was using her to teach others. You know, I don't know that I can do that this year. if the Savior of the world needed saving. I can't explain Jesus out of this offense, out of his calling this woman a dog. But I can share what I see happening here ultimately. I mean, it's not the end of the story. Sloppiness. That's what I see happening, for one thing. Thanks be to God, even if we don't want sloppiness, and none of us do, we want neat and tidy and clear-cut like the Pharisees, where life is a set of rules to keep and roles to fill and schedules by which to abide. But the gift here, for one thing, is sloppiness. I see Jesus, fully divine and fully human, coming down from on high, from lofty teaching, which is good and right, to be in the mix of it all. Good teaching trickles down from up there, but great faith sloshes around down here. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it. And living it is hard. Doing community is hard. Being together, abiding together with difference and staying is hard. And in this case, God surprises us again as a Syrophoenician woman calls Jesus out. What a text. Watch how she responds. It's not by hitting back. Call me a dog, you know what you are, you know. And it's not by going away either. It's not by slinking away, running away, being chased away. No, she says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the bread from the master's table. I might be a dog, but I'm still hungry. I'm broken, all right. I'm bitten up. I'm starving, which is why I need the bread that only you can give. She doesn't fight back with hateful words, and she doesn't back away either. She stands up strong and demonstrates faith. She makes a statement of faith. Only you, Jesus, offer the bread that I need, the healing that I need, the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. And something must have snapped in Jesus. Something must have just snapped, you know, gone off, and immediately his tone changes, and then he affirms her. I can't explain it. Forget the tricky rationalizing of what's going on here in Jesus' mind. We'll never know. you know, I can explain it when it's my child catching me using a word that's off limits, but I can't explain this. We'll just have to jump to the affirmation. Something clicks, and he suddenly changes his tone. Woman, great is your faith. In a way, I'm not sure who's helping who, who's blessing who, who's forgiving who. What is clear is that Jesus is with her. And maybe there's a lesson there, by the way. Maybe there's a lesson there that if Jesus can change his tone, or we have a God who changes God's tone, who sees things, who crosses over into new territories, and is willing to be moved and changed and opened to welcome and bless others, maybe then we can follow in that path. Maybe there's a lesson there. What is clear is that Jesus is with her. Not up there. He's down in the mix, down in the sloppiness of it all. And that's the heart of this gospel. Siblings in Christ, it's not always neat and clean, unfortunately. Clear cut. We hurt each other. We say it and do mean things, stupid things, ignorant things. But we have a Christ who gets close, who plunges into that mix with us. We have a Christ who kneels down, who takes our hand and we take his. We have a God who doesn't stay up there, but who always enters into the sloshiness of life down here. Good teaching can trickle down from up there, but great faith sloshes around down here. It's one thing to preach it, and I pray daily that we can preach a good thing up here, up at church. But we don't always, I don't always do that. Sometimes a preacher's words from up here are winded or fake or confusing or sometimes just wrong. Good teaching and preaching can trickle down from up here, but the real actions down there, down in our living rooms and kitchens and basements, down in our offices and shops and out on the roads, down in our classrooms and hallways and cafeterias and bathrooms. Great faith is down there, sloshing around. It's not perfect, and yeah, it sloshes. It's sloppy. It's messy and soggy. It ain't easy, like my friend used to say. This practice of purity of heart, it ain't easy. This discipline of choosing words of compassion and not violence. It ain't easy staying in touch with each other. Not just, I'm out. Staying connected. Apologizing and learning from one another. Changing our ways, our views. It ain't easy to be in relationship with a stranger. With the earth itself. It ain't easy remaining faithful, coming back, giving ourselves to the rhythms of the church and the nudgings of the Spirit. It ain't easy. And as soon as I'm finished preaching all of this up here, I'm right back down there sloshing around. And thank God we slosh around together. And thank God we slosh around with Jesus, who enters the sloppiness of this life and stays, maybe even more than we want it. Who banters back and forth with us all through the week, albeit sometimes a struggle, who names and commends our great faith. Woman, great is your faith. Man, great is your faith. All siblings in Christ, great is your faith. Remember that I'm down here with you, and I'll never leave you, Jesus says. I forgive you. I love you. I will die for you, Jesus says. And today, this day, I will bring you with me into a new region, a new place, a place of peace and healing and grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.